Hello and welcome to the Cult of SMMI. I am your host, Scott Moore. Today we'll be speaking with former member of the SMMI, Georgiana. Now, I do want to say the following. The views and experiences expressed by Georgiana are her own and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of me, this podcast, or our network, Sparrow Manor Podcast. Now, we are striving to provide a platform for everyone to speak, diverse perspectives, engaging conversations. And while the experiences shared by our guests may be true, they may also be exaggerated or completely false. They cannot be independently verified. So I please stress to you, exercise critical thinking. Consider these stories as personal anecdotes. And there is no way that I can refute or verify the claims made by our guests. With that being said, anyone who has had an experience with the SMMI, be they... you know, a former member, a person whose family member was in the SMMI, whether they had a very negative experience or they've had a very positive experience, we want to hear from you. And you can reach out to us at strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. Now, once again, I, Scott Mort, the podcast network, we are not responsible for any of the statements made by the guests during the course of the show. Please, I encourage you to form your own judgments. Get out there. Seek additional information. Make your own conclusions. With all that out of the way, Georgiana.
Okay, my name is Georgiana, and I was a part of the community of the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate for almost 15 years. I entered in June of 1995 with another young lady, and everything just kind of followed after that. One of my earliest experiences was a weekend trip down to Sister Teresa's parents' home for their 50th wedding anniversary. And I think it was 50th. And that's where I met Mike. So I've known him since June of 1995. It was a family celebration, so the other postulant and myself felt a little out of place, but Sister Teresa's like, well, just go in there and help my mom. So basically we served and just did that for the most part while the whole party was going on. We talked to some people, but every now and then we get a stare from Sister Teresa like, you know, move on, this isn't for you. And it was, I think it was just before that or just after that, Sister Patricia and Sister Carrie were at the convent when Ann and I got there. And I was there the night before Patricia went to Italy, and I don't wonder why she disassociates, because I just happened to go down into the basement to get some laundry, and I walked into the laundry room and Sister Teresa was banging on the bathroom door, and I said, Sister, what's wrong? She goes, Patricia locked herself in that bathroom and I want her to get out right now. And she goes, you talk to her. She won't listen to me. And I thought, wow, I just got here. I barely know anybody. But I said, all right. So And then she said, well, you're a special ed teacher. She'll understand you better. So I walked over to the door and I'm like, hey, Patricia, it's Georgiana. Why don't you come out and we'll figure this out? And she goes, I don't want to come out. And I was like, come on. You can't stay in there forever. And she goes, well, all right. So she comes out. Sister Teresa pushes me out of the way, grabs Patricia and starts shaking her. And then they start this little, like, you've seen, almost like you've seen in the movies, like they're trying to hit each other and they're hitting each other's hands. And finally, Sister grabs her and she's like, you're going, and that's it. And it was like, and I'm just standing there with my mouth open like, what did I just see? And I just walked away. I was like, and I went to the chapel. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, this actually is interesting because this does corroborate, you know, your story does corroborate, you know, her, the alleged abuse that Patricia was telling me about. Yeah. So this is kind of like the first time, I believe the first time that we're getting like two stories overlapping. So, this is quite interesting. How did you find yourself? I guess this is going to be two questions. How did you find yourself as a sister? And it's sounding like you were a nun first and then found your way into the SMMI.
Well, actually, that's the whole origin story of my vocation. I will make brief. When I was in eighth grade, I felt very called to the religious life. And through high school, I was looking at different communities. And when I graduated, I went to visit a community out in Wisconsin. And we were discerning, they were discerning me, I was discerning them, and we came to the conclusion that I had a vocation, but just not with them. And then I was working on getting an appointment to visit the Little Sisters of the Poor, and it just never seemed to work out. And the vocations director says, you know, I believe you have a vocation, just not to us, because it just doesn't ever seem to work out. And I said, okay. And then my cousin took me to this kind of assisted living facility for retired religious sisters. And I met a whole table of mothers general of different orders. And I had a delightful luncheon with them. And they all concurred. I had a vocation, but not to them. And I just so happened to go on a month-long retreat with one of the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate, Sister Carolyn, who has since passed away. And I felt like I was at home. I thought, you know, I feel the Blessed Mother's presence in this house, and I thought, this could be it. And right shortly thereafter, I met the Mother General and Mother Maria Elisabetta, and I was kind of fascinated with her and puzzled by her at the same time. So I, at that point, had been a teacher for 5 years. So I have a bachelor's and master's in education, special education. And I had just been discerning for that long. And I was told by the Mother General, oh, we have big plans for you. You know, you're going to be one of our educating sisters, and you'll work in a Catholic school, and you'll do this, and you'll do that, and all these big plans that almost didn't come to be at all, except for we did eventually get invited to make a community at St. Teresa Parish in Trumbull, Connecticut. And there, I was the director of religious education, while another sister, Sister Carolyn, was the principal of the school. And then when she moved on to another community after 5 years, then I became the principal of the Catholic school. So that was the 2 years that I actually got to use officially my education degree, although I did teach religion classes in the school prior to that. I taught the religious ed kids, mostly the sacramental years, second and eighth. But it was never quite what she promised. It was never quite the vision that, you know, got spelled out to me. And, you know, it was like this whole glitzy, oh, look, and you're going to do this. And, you know, it was very much a lot of work and no... And I didn't mind the work. I love teaching. That was my original call, as I always told people. But it was never quite what it was supposed to be. And somehow they made that seem like it was my fault. They being Sister Teresa and Mother Elisabetta, nothing was ever their fault. If something went wrong, it was always one of the sisters. And that was always like, if we're in obedience and you let me do this or don't let me do that, how can it be my fault? And unfortunately, as I told Mike, I like to speak the truth. And so yes. I asked a question like that. I said, you know, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm not sure exactly what I did or didn't do to be punished, but can you explain that to me? Well, that didn't ever go over very well. That would lead me to, it was like a series of misfortune. Every time I would have a query like that, Sister Teresa would just become enraged and violent, and she'd push me, kick me, slam a door into me, smack me across the face, shove me. One time she was berating me for my weight because I'm overweight, and she just continued on and on and on. And I finally said, Sister, I need to use the restroom. Oh, no, you're not walking away from me. And I stood there some more and I started tearing up. And I said, I really have to go to the restroom. And I did have to. So then I just went for the restroom. She ran after me and she grabbed me by the back of my neck and took my miraculous medal and wound it around her hand, she was choking me, and she just shook and shook and shook. And finally, I broke free from her, and she, and as I'm doing that, she just shoves me, and I fly into this stack of chairs, and I got up and I ran. I ran and I hid. And the sacristan of the church heard all of what was going on, and when she found me, she said, I'll hide you for as long as you want.
So there's actually, now the sacristan is not a member of the SMMI, correct?
That is correct.
That's correct. So why do the sacristan ever report what Sister Teresa had done to you? Do you know if it went any further, or was it just let this go? It never happened in their eyes.
It's funny. I think that Victoria had mentioned some things to either Father Gray or Father Stanley. And she heard a lot because she actually lived in the front part of our convent. It was walled off so that she would have a place to live. And her living room was on the other side of the wall from our dining room. And Sister Teresa would go on a regular tirades at mealtime. And I know Victoria would say, so is everything all right? And I'd look at her and I'm like, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And she's like, she really gets wound up. Yeah.
From what I understand, that's putting it quite lightly.
She was definitely something. It was after that episode when she choked me, I wrote this big, long letter to Mother Elisabetta, and she covered it up because my dad came shortly after that, and that was the last time I saw him alive. I had a huge, huge bruise on my leg and my arm and something else, and I think my side, I don't even remember now. But my dad saw the bruise, and he said, "What happened?" And I said, "Oh, it was just an accident. I fell into something." He goes, "No, you tell me what's wrong. I know when you lie." So I told him about the whole incident, and he was just beside himself. And I said, "Dad, if you say anything, it will just make it worse." So he said, "All right, fine. I won't say anything." But he took a bulletin home with him, which I thought was different. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter, I had spoken to him on the phone because I was only allowed to talk to him once a month on the phone. And nobody else. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody but my dad. None of my other family members, none of my friends, no one, just my dad. Which my family found extremely offensive. And he said to me,
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did they ever explain why just your father, why you couldn't speak with your mother,
my mom passed away when I was a kid.
I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry about that. But they never really explained why just your father. You couldn't speak to anybody else in your family.
Well, they were just like, well, it costs too much to talk to other people. And then maybe some people don't have other people, so it's not fair. I thought, okay, well, you talk to your mom, your sister, your aunt, this lady down in South River that has the gift shop, and she called a lot of people, and she was on the phone a lot. Mm. And we weren't supposed to be on the phone, and we weren't supposed to talk to each other. And the only person we were supposed to talk to was either her or Jesus. And I was like, well, okay then, you know.
That's interesting. So she's kind of setting herself up as a deity then. If the only people you're allowed to talk to is her and Jesus.
Yeah.
Then subliminally she's kind of like putting herself on that level in the followers' minds.
Well, and that follows up with, you know, I think one or the other had said something to the effect of, you know, we weren't allowed to talk to each other, and that was the absolute truth. You were supposed to keep your eyes down or averted. You weren't supposed to look at each other. You weren't supposed to talk to each other. If you were working together in the kitchen or cleaning or something, it would be better if you were in different rooms. It was like, wow, that's odd. And every time I had a question that questioned their ways, I would get punished. And everybody was just like, oh my gosh, she really takes it out on you. And I said, you know what? People don't want to hear truth, and this is how they react. Because every once in a while, you know, we'd all be alone somewhere and she'd have left us and we'd start talking. Because at a certain point, you just, you know, by nature, you want to, like, what should we do? And we always would just stay where she left us. I mean, I remember we were on a trip in Italy shortly after I had entered. I want to say Ann and I were postulants, and we ended up over in Italy for a month. And that was the whole episode of Sister Denise making us sweep up the rice and eat it from the wedding that they had at that little chapel. Okay. I was one of those sisters that got to pick the stones and the dirt out of the rice and then boil it and eat it.
Was Patricia one of those sisters as well?
No, but the story became famous because, well, you know, I chose to not keep my mouth shut.
Good for you. Good for you.
Well, you know, I figured the more people that were aware would be, you know, more cautious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think in the long run, that may have caused a few problems with putting people together in houses. But you know what? Who wants to be with an abusive sister? And there were plenty others who were abusive. There was one I lived with in Italy the year after I had been principal of the school for 2 years. And, you know, as I think Patricia was saying, and I think also Antoinette, their job was just to break you down spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in every way, and some obviously physically too. This superior I had would literally every single day, "Oh my God, you are so fat, ugly, and stupid." That was what I heard every morning.
I'm so sorry.
And I was like, and I just smile at her and go, "Oh, thank you, sister." And I go about my day because I thought, you know what? I don't have to be defined by you. But, you know, it wears on a person.
Thank you for joining us once again here on The Cult of SMMI. Once again, if you or a family member has been a member of the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate, please reach out to me at strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. Once again, thank you. Take care of yourselves and each other.